From KCRW, I'm Kim Masters, and this is The Business.
I want to produce really funny, inspirational projects, movies, live stage plays. I'm going to work with Leonardo DiCaprio. He's going to try to get me pregnant. I'm going to be like, I can't, Leo. I'm sorry. I can't have babies right now.
Tiffany Haddish delivers a breakout performance in the raunchy hit comedy Girls Trip, and her appearance on Jimmy Kimmel Live went viral. Haddish says stardom has already changed her life, and she has big plans for where she goes from here. Haddish and Girls Trip director Malcolm D. Lee tell us about making movies with black casts that can cross over to all audiences, and Haddish pitches her idea for Girls Trip 2 in South Africa. But first on the news banter, HBO's plans for a show that doesn't exist yet ignite a firestorm. Stay tuned, it's The Business from KCRW. I am joined by my friend in banter, Matt Bellany of The Hollywood Reporter. Hello, Matt.
Hi there.
So let us start with the Television Critics Association, which has been and continues to meet as they do every year. And this is the occasion where the critics get to question and look at panels from various shows, usually of shows that are going to be debuting in the near future. And this has turned into a problem for HBO in that they decided to announce a show called Confederate, which is not even a thing that's coming up soon. It's a concept that is going to be brought to us by Game of Thrones showrunners David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, imagining a modern-day Confederate nation with legal slavery. And the backlash to this announcement has been so immediate and swift, even though, as I said, this is not yet a show. It's a show that HBO intends to make, that it distracted from other stuff that HBO was hoping to promote.
Right. And it just shows, one, you know, the third rail of anything around race, and especially anything around slavery. When you touch that, you're going to get a lot of backlash. And I think a lot of the negative reactions that HBO got was due to the kind of tone-deaf way it was rolled out. It was a very straightforward announcement in a press release. They didn't give the proper context. The showrunners didn't speak until after the fact about what they're actually trying to do with this. Because, you know, there are lots of sensitive subjects. And you have shows on the air right now with The Handmaid's Tale, which imagines a world in which essentially slavery of women is legal. And you have Man in the High Castle on Amazon, which is an alternate universe in which Hitler won World War II.
Well, and we're dealing in a situation, you know, using this Man in a High Castle idea where, you know, you do not see Nazi flags commonly displayed in America, but there are a lot of states where you see Confederate flags displayed. And this is not a thing that, you know, the Civil War ended and then it all went into the past by any means. I mean, I am not entirely comfortable with judging a show before it is, you know, even a thing. But at the same time, it is awkward to imagine the depiction of the enslavement of people of color, especially at this moment. So much reminds us every day that the legacy is still alive in many ways.
Well, but I think that's part of the point of the show. I mean, you hear the showrunners talk and they say that they want to draw those connections to modern day. So I agree with you. I don't want to judge something, but I think the way this was presented, the way HBO went about this, is what's causing them all the problems. And I actually believe that it's crossed a threshold where this project will not ultimately end up on the air.
Yeah, one does wonder. So I'm going to pivot to one of HBO's competitors, Amazon. Amazon is putting its toe into self-distribution of films with Woody Allen's Wonder Wheel coming out in the fall, in December, I should say. This film, you know, whatever it is, it's a small film, but it should scare the studios because, you know, a lot of people try to distribute their own films and become like mini majors. And it's a dangerous thing. Megan Ellison's Annapurna is trying it right now. It's going to distribute its upcoming film Detroit that way for the first time. And, you know, it's going to be a big experiment. And many people in Hollywood are wondering about how you cover the infrastructure and how much product you have to put through the pipeline to cover all the people you have to have in place to distribute your own films. Many have tried and many have failed. Amazon, however, you know, the pockets just don't come much deeper than that. They can fail a lot before they succeed. And as we've noted before, they, unlike Netflix, are willing to have their movies shown in theaters, which seems to pay off for them, with certainly with Manchester by the Sea, if you want nominations. So it feels to me like a big new competitor coming into the game.
Absolutely. And just the fact that Amazon is willing to lose money, it has nothing but money to spend. I mean, Jeff Bezos is now the world's richest man, or he was briefly for a time on Thursday. You know, they can disrupt any business if they really want to. And the business advantage that traditional studios have always had is that anyone can make a movie, but it takes a lot of infrastructure to get a movie released in America and around the world. And you really have to invest in that. And that has been the ace in the hole for these studios and specialty distributors, is that they invest and they get the people and the relationships to release these movies. Amazon, if they want to spend a couple $100 million, they could get up and be a competitive distributor. And I think if they're putting their toe in the water now, they're probably likely thinking, okay, let's try this.
Yeah, well, so just to remind everybody how quickly people can lose money in the movie business, I'll just talk briefly about Valerian. This is from Luc Besson. This is the most expensive indie film ever made, $180 million. It has landed with a thud, certainly in this country. A lot of investors around the world are going to feel the pain from that one. This is a proud tradition of the movie business. Get outside people to give you money, and then maybe it's going to get burned.
Right. And Besson was very clear in the press leading up to the release that the exposure for his company, EuropaCorp, which actually made the movie, was relatively small compared to the $180 million budget, because they had offloaded a lot of risks onto other investors, you know, French telecom companies and people that want to be in business with Besson because he has such a track record, that the pain from this movie, if it loses a lot of money, is going to be spread around to a bunch of different companies. Now, let's also put a caveat on that. The film has yet to open in China, where it could do big business. A lot of these spectacle fantasy 3D movies do very well in China, and it's also doing well in France, its home country. But most people believe this movie will lead to a pretty significant loss, if not hundreds of millions of dollars in losses, because of the cost of releasing it. So there's going to be a lot of pain spread around.
And yet they will still come. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
That's Matt Bellany, editorial director of The Hollywood Reporter. Girls Trip, which looks like it will be the breakout R-rated comedy hit of the summer, follows four best friends who met in college but have drifted apart in recent years. As the movie begins, they've decided to reconnect by heading to New Orleans for a weekend of fun. The members of the so-called Flossy Posse are played by Regina Hall, Queen Latifah, Jada Pinkett Smith, and someone whose name few would have recognized before Girls Trip, Tiffany Haddish. Until now, she was probably best known for a recurring role as Nikisha on the now-canceled NBC series The Carmichael Show. In Girls Trip, Haddish plays Dina, who is still the crazy one, ready to party from the moment they all get on the plane.
Okay, now here's what I want. Let me get three shots of whiskey with a Compton Chase. Coke Zero, though. I'm watching my figure.
Dina, you know this is only an hour flight.
Oh, well then in that case, let me go ahead and get those three shots now, and then bring me a shot of Bailey's once we get into cruising altitude.
We have another guest today, Malcolm D. Lee, who directed Girls Trip. His past films include The Best Man in 1999 and its 2013 follow-up, The Best Man Holiday, as well as Barbershop, The Next Cut. All right, so you two, have you ever met before you made this film?
Yes, we did. In fact, I will tell you, I had seen her on The Carmichael Show. I was doing a pilot on the Fox lot, and I saw her walking around. And then I was at my premiere of Barbershop, The Next Cut. I get out of my car to walk the red carpet, and here's Tiffany Haddish, and she turns around. She goes, "Hey, I'm going to be in your next movie." True story.
Yep. That's how I get all my jobs. I plant a seed in that person's brain, and then I reappear months later.
That's a good strategy.
And it worked.
It worked.
Absolutely.
Except you didn't go, like, directly. Let's be honest. You did try a lot of people for that role.
Oh, absolutely. Look, Kenya Barris and Tracy Oliver wrote a tremendous part in Dina, and we knew we wanted to have somebody great in that role that could, you know, not only deliver what was on the page, but also be inventive with improv. And of all the people that we were considering, I would always go back to Tiffany's tape And she was always the one that made me laugh.
I can't even, I mean, she's so intensely great in the movie that you feel like you just look at her and go, yes.
Well, she was destined to play the part. You know, sometimes roles are like that. You don't know who can do it or who will do it, who will embody it. You know, you may have people in mind, but Tiffany Haddish comes in and she just embodied that spirit of who Dina was and also fit very well with the rest of the Flossy Posse, who we had cast prior, you know, with Regina Hall and Queen Latifah. And
I think Regina was the first, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And then, you know, with Latifah and Jada, you know, it was like, okay, who's going to be able to fill out this fourth in this quartet?
And then I started to pray. It was a lot of prayer.
I mean, were you not a little intimidated by the iconic names?
No, because I wanted to work with them so then they could be like, I want her to be my friend. That's what right, I just felt like in my mind. They would meet me and be like, she's so crazy, I want her to be my friend. I wanted to give them an opportunity to meet me. No, hell no, I really want to meet them. And I was super excited, but I was not intimidated.
Good for you. You know, I will mention, Tiffany's about 10 years younger than the others. And everybody looks great, but was that a factor in your head? Like, 10
well,
years
yeah,
younger?
You know, we considered that. But at the same time, even though she's younger than them, she still seemed to fit that
I mean, they're
group.
Supposed to be college friends.
Right, right. And, you know, I think that...
You were a prodigy. You were in college.
I was a genius. Yes. That's the thing y'all don't know. See, we didn't get to Dina's backstory on how she went to college at 12.
Right, exactly.
You know, and I don't think we really had to... because she fit so well with the women, we didn't have to do a whole bunch of explaining on that. It was like, okay, she's just with this group. And it's a testament to those women also who look amazing for their age. You know, they're beautiful women.
It works. It totally, obviously, is a total crowd pleaser. A-plus cinema score, that's not a common thing.
Well, you know, it's not. You're right. You know, I felt like from the time that we started test screenings, we knew that we had something pretty special. We knew that audiences were, I mean, they were laughing hysterically from the outset with this movie. And I think in a large part of it, you know, was because they haven't seen anything like this with Black women at the core doing the things that they did. Being so free, being so open, being as they are, as they see themselves. And so I think for a lot of the audience, it was a revelation. You know, like, wow. Like, I mean, I literally, people would stand up and like spin around in place because they just could not believe what they were seeing. So, am I surprised we got an A-plus cinema score? I don't know. Maybe. I know that it's a movie that works for audiences. I know that they really loved it. And so it's a beautiful thing. I'm very happy that people are embracing it the way they are.
Look, he was talking about the test screenings, right?
Yes.
And they didn't tell us that these tests were happening, but I knew something was really good about the movie because people were hitting me up on Facebook like, don't tell nobody, but I just saw Girl Strip and it was so good, girl. You killed it. You finna blow up. And I was like, what happened? Like, people I used to go to school with was hitting me up. People I ain't heard from in years. And it's crazy.
I know that you don't like it when people say you stole the movie.
Yeah, because I don't steal.
But
you know,
I
from where I'm
say,
from, if somebody tell you you stole something, that's like, that's not nice.
That's fighting not words.
Nice. Yeah.
So but it's a compliment.
Me. I know it's y'all mean a good, but it bothers me.
I just will say, without using that word, like, as I was watching the movie, I was like, something is going on. A star is born.
Aw, thanks.
Without
I mean, you
doubt.
Were already... known, but this is a whole, right? Can you feel a difference already? It's a different level of thing.
Oh, well, yeah, there's huge difference. Like when I wake up in the morning and it's like 150 text messages, and then like, I'm like, who are all these people texting me? And then like Malcolm hit me up, hey, John Singleton wants to talk to you. Old showrunners that I've worked with are like, hey, can we sit down and talk about TV show ideas, movie ideas, this and that? And like all these people are calling me and I'm like, I'm not available, you guys. I'm busy. I'm sorry. And I'm just trying to get some sleep because
okay.
I've been partying. So I'm busy enjoying life.
You're enjoying it.
Yeah.
I will stay here for a minute. You come from a difficult background.
Mm-hmm.
I read you were in foster care for a time. You were trying to take care of your siblings at a super, super young, what, 10 years old?
Yeah, 9, 10, 11, 12.
That's a big burden for a child.
But I was okay. I wasn't the best mom. But, you know, for a 9-year-old, I was all right. Everybody ate. Nobody starved.
So you did that, and then a social worker, I guess you were kind of cutting up in school.
Yeah, I was cutting up. I was talking a lot. I was trying to be funny because they sent me to a school out in the Valley.
Right. And, you were from South Central and you ended up in the Valley. Yeah, I guess, why did that? Because of foster care or why was that?
No, because my mom had put me in a choices program right before we got taken. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know how to fit in really. So I started like making up imaginary friends and I would make the kids laugh in the middle of class. I was trying to make friends because I seen Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And there was a part in the movie where the detective says to the rabbit, why are all these people doing these nice things for you? And he said, because I make them laugh, Eddie. If you make people laugh, they'll do anything for you. And I was like, that's it. That's how I'm going to get these white kids to be my friend. They're going to help me do my homework. They're going to do it. Like, I'm going to eat lunch all the time for free. Like, and it did work out like that. People was letting me copy their homework. And they would, like, give me the answers to tests. And maybe you were cheating a lot. Mm-hmm. And whatever. Mm-hmm. And they was giving me their extra coffee cakes. And give me their lunch tickets.
So who told you to go? Somebody sent you to comedy camp.
Yeah, so my social worker was getting tired. She was getting called up to the school all the time. And she was like, look, you got two choices this summer. You can go to Laugh Factory Comedy Camp or you can go to psychiatric therapy because something is wrong with you. And I was like, well, let's go to this comedy camp.
And when you went there, did you feel like I am now where I should be?
When I went there, I remember the very first day, Charles Fleischer.
Oh, Roger
Rabbit's
voice.
The guy that did the voice of Roger Rabbit was there the first day, and I thought this was the most magical day. Like, this is God.
Wow.
And I was on stage, and we were just supposed to tell something we thought was funny. So I talked about how when you go to a public restroom, when there's old ladies in the restroom, they always make noise. They always like, So at the end of it, he goes, you're really pretty girl. You're very pretty girl. And he does it in the voice of Roger Rabbit. No need to do the potty humor.
Oh, he schooled you.
I was like, I don't care. I think that's funny.
Well, fortunately, because you had a grapefruit in your future.
Yeah.
Because that is some of the raunchiest
that
thing.
Part.
And he seemed worse than what y'all saw.
Well, listen, the grapefruit whole thing was just, she tried. She tried really hard. And then she just did it. With reckless abandon, no holds barred. And,
I should say, for the very raunchy scene involving a sex act with the grapefruit.
Yeah, she's been just showing, you know, trying to help relationships out.
Trying to be a friend.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, for help men and women in their, you know, relationships.
This doesn't exist. I haven't Googled it. Is that a thing?
Yeah, there's
it is
a,
actually
yeah.
a thing. It is
yes,
actually a thing.
It's an actual thing. There's a lady named Auntie Angel that made this video like back in 2012. Doing it.
Who knew that?
Well, it wasn't Kenya came up with that one.
Okay.
It was a different uncredited writer. He does not want credit for putting the grapefruit in the movie.
Why not?
Funny.
It's so funny because the lady who put that video out in 2012 had somebody hit me up talking about, yeah, you trying to steal Auntie Angel's thing. And I was like, first off, never said it was mine. Never said I created it. Now, if they had put a fruit roll-up around that thing, that's mine. Okay? Fruit by the foot, that's me. Okay? Don't stop till all the fruit roll-up gone. That's me. Okay? The grapefruit thing, that's her. And
that's
that was
the
a
sequel.
Part of the script.
Make
and
note,
I did it.
Malcolm.
Fruit roll-up. Fruit roll-up. Yeah. What flavor?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Coming up after a short break, Girls Trip star Tiffany Haddish and director Malcolm D. Lee explain that when Diddy pulls you up on stage, you don't think, you just go. You're listening to The Business from KCRW. This is The Business, and I'm Kim Masters. We're talking to actress Tiffany Haddish and director Malcolm D. Lee about their new movie, Girls Trip. For Haddish, this film has delivered the overnight stardom that she worked for years to achieve. It is fair to say that she more than holds her own alongside actresses Regina Hall, Queen Latifah, and Jada Pinkett Smith. Even people who haven't seen the movie were charmed by Haddish's recent appearance on Jimmy Kimmel Live, when she told the story of bringing Will and Jada Pinkett Smith along on a swamp tour she booked through Groupon during a break in filming in Louisiana.
Jada's looking and she goes, Tiffany, what is going on here? Why is there so many people? And I said, Jada, they probably all got Groupons. And she said, Tiffany, what the is a Groupon?
Oh, wow. She didn't know, yeah.
And I said, Jada, what do you think a Groupon is? She said, I thought it meant you had a boat that you could take a group of people on. And I was like, Jada, I got a $20 a day rental car. Why would I have my own boat?
Director Malcolm D. Lee dared to shoot key sequences in Girls Trip during the Real Life Essence Festival, which was underway in New Orleans. Which has to be logistically, like, how in the world can you do that?
It was a real challenge. We knew that we were going to be a lot of cameras and handheld, and we had to get permission of not only Essence and make an agreement with them, plus you had security issues with, you know, something like Queen Latifah and Jada, because, you know, celebrities attend that event every year, and there's always kind of a mob scene. People get very excited. They want to take pictures. They want to get autographs, what have you. So we're trying to have our actors be characters in the movie and not their real selves.
People screaming,
people
like,
screaming
Latifah
out their name, all that kind of stuff. You know, and, but I wanted to make sure that we had a very immersive experience for the audience to make them feel like they were there. We had to get, you know, permission from musical artists as well to not only shoot them, but potentially have our actors interact with them and our cameras and their
Tiffany,
face.
For example.
Tiffany with Diddy. I'll tell you a story about
Diddy.
That. But we wanted to make sure that we were shooting in the actual dome and during a performance. So, like, you know, when at the height of a performance. So, you know, it was logistically very, very tough. And that was at the beginning of our schedule. And kind of all of our pre-production efforts were geared towards that. And then we had to shoot the rest of the movie, which was
but there was so, I mean, there's so many cameos. I guess having the festival enabled that in a way, right?
Yeah, we had to, not only do we have to get permission from Essence, but we have to get permission from each one of those people as well.
Because
you know,
you're also
prior.
Potentially using their sound.
Using their sound, using their image.
Did anybody say, well, you know.
Oh, yeah, we had some people that didn't want to participate. Which is fine. They might regret it now.
Yeah, and they're probably kicking themselves in the butt like, dang, I should have let her die, man.
Were you imagining a life where you're dancing on stage with Diddy?
Girl, yes. That's something I've wanted to do all my life.
Someday. Now,
this is not a joke. This is something I wanted to do. And when I read it in the script, I was like, yes! God is good! God is like, this is your year, baby. You're going to get all your dreams, everything. You're going to get it.
And I tell you, that was a very spontaneous moment. I mean, you know.
She is wearing, just to be visual, not much.
Yeah. It's a very short dress. And all we really wanted Diddy to do was give us a kind of a reaction to her.
Like he's going to look at her. And
yeah.
She flashes him.
She flashes him. And you
she
know,
has
just,
pasties
just,
on.
Yeah, has pasties on. And so we thought, okay, he'll give us a look and we're good. And he said, well, I might invite them up on stage. We're like, okay, that'll be fine. So when he reaches for her, it is literally a 7-foot speaker.
Yes.
That she has to, and she just said, I'm going. And so she put her hand
really?
And
I'm
forward.
Shocked.
Yeah, kick my leg up.
She had heels on. There's no grip on these things. So Latifah, to her credit, just ran in there
and pushed
and
me.
Pushed her up. And all those reactions that you see are very, very spontaneous and real.
She's like, yo, booty out. Like, I don't care.
All right, so I'm going to ask you about the Black movie.
Okay.
So I read somewhere that you have the goal. You want to make the Black movie crossover. Is that fair? Is that right? What you?
Yeah, no.
Feel?
Listen, it's been my goal since being in the business to make so-called African American movies, because African American movie is not a genre, and I kind of don't like the moniker. You should put the movie where it belongs, in the genre that it belongs: action movie, action comedy,
right.
Romantic comedy, what have you. So
instead,
it's been
it's
my
like
goal.
This euphemistic urban.
Yeah, urban. Like I remember they called Best Man Holiday an urban movie, and I'm like, what is urban about 9 people being in a mansion in New Jersey?
Right.
What's urban about that?
Something that
right,
people
right.
don't say. Yeah.
Yeah. So I say, you know, it is my goal to make so-called African American movies mainstream. Every movie I've ever done has had universal themes. It has cultural specificity, but it does have universal themes, whether it's love or loss or career choices or whatever it
challenges
is.
Challenges of life.
These are people stories. They just happen to be Black. And there's no reason why a movie like Best Man Holiday and now Girls Trip and Barbershop couldn't cross over and be part of the pantheon of just movies, comedies, romantic dramas, whatever you want to call them.
Do you feel that the African-American audience has certain expectations, though, coming into a comedy, like it should have this and it should have that?
You know, I don't know if that's necessarily true. They want
Tiffany
it to be funny. They want
head.
To laugh, you
right.
know?
It better be funny.
Yeah, it's better be funny. Like any audience, like you say, okay, this is a comedy. They're sitting back, okay, make me laugh. And you want to make sure those first couple of jokes work. Because if you swing and miss, you are at an increasing deficit.
Right.
I think... Yeah, there's a cultural specificity to maybe African-American, what they so-called African-American humor. You know, there's a level of pain and oppression that come with that, you know? There's a relatability that black people have where they can find humor in things that aren't as, I don't know, PC or so.
Right. But when you, so when you're making Girls Trip and you're thinking, I want my movie to cross over, do you think differently about it?
I've always, I've wanted my movies to cross over from day one.
Right.
You know, with Best Man. So with Girls Trip is no different. It's about sisterhood. It's about being strong for your girls. It's about partying. It's about all these things that are very universal. And comedy happens to be one of those things that can bring large audiences together. So I didn't think any differently about it. And maybe it's partly because, you know, I've grown as a filmmaker and as a storyteller. So maybe that's why. Maybe the world is changing also. You know, that you see four black women on a poster and you say, okay, I'll go see that.
It's so crazy because every time a movie breaks out, there's like this, oh my God.
Oh my God, I can't believe it. Wow. Right. How did that happen?
And then 10 years go by.
Right. And I think we caught a wave of some comedies not working this summer, an underserved audience, not just African American,
right,
but specifically female African American.
Well, and women.
And great. Women that were like, we need something for us. You know, like they, and but see, but women have had Wonder Woman this year, you know, and they have had
about that.
Hidden Figures, but, you know.
Yeah.
So here was a comedy that was going to particularly cater to African-American women, but it was, we were trying to go for everybody. And it seems like we do have a diverse audience out there that's going for it. And people are hungry, you know, and so we're able to satiate them, you know, with a movie like Girls Trip.
Yeah, because there hasn't been a female comedy like this ever. Not for
I don't think there has. So now you, I mean, you've seemed, you know, for some people, I'm sure it's like, wow, she just appeared suddenly. But you've been working long and hard, I'm sure, for a long, long time.
Girl, yes.
Yes. So what do you want to do next?
I want to have my own show. I want to produce really funny, inspirational projects, movies, live stage plays. I'm going to get an Oscar. I'm going to get a Tony. I'm going to get an Emmy. I'm going to get a Grammy. I'm going to come out with a comedy album that got music on it. I'm going to get Maxwell, the background singer, on my comedy album. I'm going to work with Leonardo DiCaprio. He going to try to get me pregnant. I'm going to be like, I can't, Leo. I'm sorry. I can't have babies right now. And then Brad Pitt going to be like, Tiffany, please let me be in your movie. I'm going to be like, Brad, I don't know if you're funny enough. It's going to be crazy.
I'm going to have to start that kind of visualizing for myself.
Put on your vision board.
Because it does seem to work, yeah. I mean, obviously, I'm sure Universal is like, Girls Trip 2, Girls Trip 2.
The challenge of any sequel, because listen, a lot of these sequels are money grabs.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that. Like, I want to make sure if this happens, that we really nail down the script. We make it bigger than the first one. We make a set pieces just as engaging, if not better. So, yeah, I would do it. It's just, you know, and we'll say it on record, I will not go for it if it's not ready.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, Essence has a festival in South Africa.
Yes, that's right. I would
be
down with that.
All of our first time ever going to Africa.
Right, right.
What we think would happen in Africa, and we get there and be like, why is it all these white people? It'd be crazy.
Yeah, no, listen, you've never really seen African Americans in Africa, experiencing Africa.
Yeah.
Because we are American. You find out how American you are going to, you know, a country that doesn't necessarily cater to that.
Yes. Okay, we will look for Girls Trip to South Africa edition.
That's just my pitch.
I like it. I like it.
Tiffany Haddish is one of the stars of Girls Trip, and Malcolm Deely is the director. Thank you guys both so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for letting us be here today.
And that's The Business. Caitlin Parker produced and edited today's program with production assistance from Ray Guarna and additional help this week from Christopher Ho. You can subscribe to The Business as well as other great KCRW podcasts at kcrw.com/podcasts. I'm Kim Masters. We'll see you next week on The Business.